Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Good morning, church. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for just this great privilege and honor that we have to worship you. Thank you for bringing us together from all around our community and for being that thing that draws us together. Lord, may you just go before us today. May today bring you honor and glory. May we lift our voices to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, please stand if you're able for worship.
Your holy name, Lord, I worship your holy name.
You know, last weekend we got to witness four people make a public proclamation of what God is doing in their lives. And I would just want to remind you that that doesn't just happen on Easter. That God is still on the move, and we know that he is on the move inside of our community. The devil don't like it, but God's winning, you know. And let's keep that in mind. And that's why we joined together for My3. One of the things that we can do as believers is lift up those who don't know Jesus and to pray for them daily. You know, this isn't something we should just be doing on Sunday mornings, but this is something we should be doing each and every day of the week. So I want to encourage you this morning, think of those three people that don't know Jesus. Write their names down. Keep it close by, some place where you are reminded daily to pray for them. Because we know that God is changing lives. And he is still at work today, and he is still on the throne. This isn't something we just celebrate on Easter, but it's something that we can celebrate every day. So at this time, think of those three people in your life, and let's take them to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the work that you're doing. Father, we thank you for the way that you're restoring lives, for the way that you're restoring each one of our lives. Lord, we also thank you for the way that you're working inside of our community and around us. Father, we all know people who don't know you, and we want to lift them up by name inside of this moment. Lord, we ask that you do a new work inside of their hearts today. Father, that you may draw them to you and that they may surrender. We thank you for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Be still, there is a healer. His love is deeper than the sea. His mercy is unfailing. His arms a fortress for the weak. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. I lift my hands to the believer again. You are my refuge, you are my as I pour out my heart, these things I remember. You are faithful, God, forever. Be still. There is a river that flows from Calvary's tree. A fountain for the thirsty. His grace that washes over me. Let faith arise. Let faith arise.
Faithful God forever.
I lift my hands to live again. You are my refuge, you are my strength.
more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware by your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for,
We have the kids come up for the children's message, please.
All right. Good morning. It's all the boys and girls. Come on up front. All right. All right. Ooh, he came in sliding. How you guys doing today?
Good.
Great. Oops, we got a visitor. I love spring, don't you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what happened last week? We got to celebrate Easter, right?
Yeah.
I asked Miss Chris, who loves to decorate our church, to leave the Easter flowers up one more week. And these beautiful Easter lilies we see along the back there. During spring, we see many flowers growing and blossoming, don't we? Yeah. I know I have a lot of daffodils growing up by my garage right now. As they say, April showers bring May flowers. So we're looking forward to that, right? What is amazing is that the various colors have special meaning for each of them to Christians. Today we are going to learn about each of the colors that are so important to us. I have this chart which I will give each one of you to each one of you to take home and place it near your bed so you can look at it each day to remind you how great our God is. So if you want an extra one and you want to carry it in your backpack to back and forth to school, you could have that at the end too. On this chart, we have black. Now, what this represents to us is that we are sinners, right? We are all born sinners, unfortunately. But then we have red, which we celebrated last week, the blood that Jesus shed for us on the cross for our sins. We see on the cross here, we have purple, though, and that is special because it stands for royalty, because God, Jesus, is our King of Kings now, right? So remember that. Last week, blue reminds us of our faith when we are baptized. Last week, we had four wonderful people that proclaimed Jesus as their Savior, and we saw them do that. One day would be great if one of you would step up and be baptized and proclaim your faith to the whole church. Think of that. Then we have white is for purity. That's what those Easter lilies represent. Purity, we from our God when we confess our sins, right? So then think of being baptized and having Pastor Tim go, yes, right? Think of that happening when that happens to you. Green is to remind us to grow in our faith. How can we do that? How do we think we could grow in our faith? Damien, what? What? Trust in Jesus, yes. Also, read his word, right? Read God's word. What else?
Spring is tornado season.
Oh, yep, spring is tornado season, so we got to pray for that, right? So that'd be a way.
Pray before you eat food and stuff.
Pray before you eat and do things, right? Seek God's word in some way, somehow. When you're in trouble, what do? You pray. Yes. Yes, pray before you go to sleep. That's a beautiful time. I do that every night myself. Peyton.
Pray when when someone else has trouble, like in the spelling test or something.
Yes, pray for others as well. That's a great idea. And finally, we have gold or yellow on this here card. That's to remind us of heaven where our final home is. So think of that. I hope you will look at this simple card each day and think about God, right? And how wonderful he is that he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to lift up these boys and girls that they'll take this card and just look at it daily and just remember what you did on the cross for them and that we celebrate it every spring and all these wonderful flowers that we see, all these beautiful colors coming, yellow, blue. It's just amazing, your creation. We just ask that you be with Pastor now as he presents the message to us. In your son's holy name, we pray. Amen. So here you go,
Pastor. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that, Marvin. Well, good morning, church. It's so good to be here with each of you guys. And if you didn't notice, Kerwin looked a little different this morning. In fact, he looked more like Scott than Kerwin. He is currently celebrating a wedding with some friends and stuff up north. And so we're excited. And thank you for the entire team for stepping up this morning and leading us in worship the way that they have. But this morning, before we get going, I just want to welcome everybody here this morning, including those joining us online and the radio. We are thankful for each of you. After the service today, we do have our prayer meeting. So if you want to join us for about 30 minutes of prayer, we would love to have you. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Lord, I just thank you for each person that is here. I thank you for the opportunity we have just to come together to study your word. Lord, I ask that this morning it is your words that are spoken and not my own. Father, I ask that if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. This morning, we're going to be diving back into the Life of Christ series that we were on before Easter, and we're going to be over in Matthew chapter 22, verses 41 through 46, for those of you who want to follow along. And you know, we live in this world that is obsessed with identity. People always want to know who you are or who somebody is. I recall a time when I moved out here. It was soon after I went down to Clinton and I went to Farm and Fleet. And as I was walking around the store and I was trying to find a new broom handle for my garage broom. And well, as I came around the corner, there was this Amish guy standing there. And me being me, without even thinking about it, I just went up to him and I asked him where the broom handle was. The thing is, I didn't speak English to him. That's not what I did. I spoke German, and apparently I discovered very quickly the Amish out here are not accustomed to guys in Harley shirts speaking German. So, because he just stopped. I think if he would have had something in his hands, he would have dropped it. And he looked over at me, and he goes, "Wabisch du?" Which means, who are you? He had an utter look of shock on his face. It's one that I won't soon forget. But you see, that question that he was asking is, he wanted to know who I was, who my family was, where I was from, what am I doing in that area? He was trying to piece this all together in his head, why a guy dressed in Harley shirt is speaking German to him. Because this wasn't normal in his world. It wasn't how he viewed things. And I know we can laugh at this story, and I'd laughed at it many times. But when I think back to that look on his face, that ultimately that question that he was asking was rooted in the same one the world often has, where we're obsessed with our identities and obsessed with identities of others. And that obsession with identity crosses all cultures and language and every other area. You know, when it comes to even our identities for ourselves, it's a question that we often can find ourselves wrestling with. In a culture that's obsessed with identity, we can ask ourselves, who am I? What do I believe? And where do I belong? And to answer those questions, we often try to build our identity on things of this world. You know, we try to build our identity on our careers. What do we do for a living? What are the titles that we hold? We can base our identities on our relationships. You know, are we married? Are we single? Are we a father or a mother? Are we all of these things? And we build our identity on these things. And for some people, they base their identities on their political views and where they fall on different areas. And then others, they base their identity on their own perceived values and truths that they hold for themselves. But you see, when we build our identities on things of this world, often our identities become unstable. We need to remember that jobs change. Relationships can shift. Our opinions can evolve over time. And we live in a culture where it moves quickly. I read a report a while back that our culture is currently shifting every 7 years. So if we base our identity on things of this world, our own identity is constantly shifting. And it can leave us feeling unsettled. It can leave us feeling confused and even restless at times. This is why, as Christians, we're called to build our identities on Christ and not on things of this world. But you know, when we start building our identity in Christ, it means that we have to be able to explain and understand who we're building our identity on, who Jesus is. And answering the question of who Jesus is a loaded question. If you were to ask 10 random people in the world today, who is Jesus, you're going to get 10 different answers, most likely. You know, some will say that he was a good man, or that he was a prophet. Others will say he was a revolutionary, or he was loving and accepting. Yet still others will say that he was the Messiah, the very Son of God. Some people admire Jesus. Some people debate him. Some people just ignore him. But very few people will actually stop and wrestle with the question of who Jesus is. And because people keep their view of Jesus on this shallow end, it causes this tension inside of our world when the question is asked, who is Jesus? Now, this is nothing new. You know, throughout Scripture, we see it in our passage this morning, this tension over who is the Messiah, the tension over who is Jesus. In the last couple of weeks of the Life of Christ series, we saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees, along with the other religious experts of the law, coming to Jesus and questioning him. And most of these questions weren't asked because they wanted truth. Instead, they were questions that were asked to try to lay a trap for Jesus. They asked questions that they thought they already knew the answers to. You know, the first question they asked Jesus was about paying taxes, on whether or not it was lawful to pay taxes to Caesar, because either way Jesus answered the question, they thought they had him. If he said yes, it was lawful, the people would despise him. If he said no, then they could have the Roman government and arrest him. The second question they came to Jesus with was, is the resurrection true? Is it going to happen? And they failed miserably within those questions. And then the last question was a little bit more sincere of a question. It was one that they themselves wrestled with. It was the question of what was the greatest commandment. And they asked Jesus these questions because they thought they knew the answers. Because in their mind, they had a preconceived notion of who the Messiah would be and what the Messiah would do. And they didn't want to believe that Jesus was that fulfillment. And then we get to our passage this morning. And we see everything beginning to shift. Instead of the Pharisees and the religious leaders asking the question, we see Jesus asking them a question. And on his surface, it looks like an easy question, but in reality, it's a question that shows where the heart of the leaders are in this moment. You see, it tells us in verses 41 and 42, it says, while the Pharisees were together, Jesus questioned them, what do you think about the Messiah? Whose son is he? And they replied, David's. You know, on the surface, this seemed like a simple question with a simple answer. In fact, the Pharisees were probably rejoicing of all the questions that Jesus could ask. They asked this simple question for them. The Pharisees were aware that the Messiah was coming. In fact, they were looking for him. But you see, they were looking for the Messiah as a national liberator, someone that would come in and overthrow the Roman government and allow Israel to rise once again. And here, looking for a king to sit on the throne of David, an earthly kingdom once again. But even when the Messiah standing right in front of them, they couldn't see it. He didn't fit what they were looking for. They didn't understand what they thought they understood. This is why Jesus asked them, what do you think about the Messiah? Whose son is he? And how they answered this question revealed their heart. How we answer the question reveals our own hearts and where we're at today. Because that same question still stands for each and every one of us. Who is the Messiah? Who is Jesus? And this isn't a question just for religious leaders to answer. It's not a question just for theologians to debate or pastors to talk about. Instead, this question about who is Jesus is a question that each and every one of us have to answer. Whether you're a believer or not, at some point you have to wrestle with the question of who is Jesus. And the question is not, what do you think about Jesus? The question is not, what have you heard about him? The question is not, what were you raised to believe about him? The question isn't even, what does the culture say about Jesus? Instead, the question is, what do you believe about him? And how you answer that question will shape your life more than anything else in this world. You see, what you believe about Jesus will shape your decisions that you make. It will shape what your priorities in life are. It will even shape the purpose of your life. And it has a direct effect on where we spend eternity. I think most of us here, including myself, can admit that we are wrong about certain things in life at times. Am I the only one willing to admit that? Because I get things wrong. But we also know there's one thing in life that we cannot get wrong, and that is who Jesus is. We can't afford to be wrong about Jesus. So the same question that Jesus asked the Pharisees and the religious leaders 2,000 years ago still stands before us today. Who is Jesus? And you know, a familiar answer isn't always a complete answer. When Jesus asked the Pharisees this question about the Messiah, they immediately replied, David's. You know, whenever I read this, I always get this image in my head of like a grade school kid at school, and the teacher asks a question that they've been going over, and suddenly their hand just shoots up like, I know this answer, and they answer it really quickly, but the thing is they don't understand the answer. They know the words, but they don't actually understand what's going on at this time. You know, initially they're taught 2 + 2 = 4, but they don't understand how to do the math to get to 4. But they've been told that's what it equals. And I feel like that's what the Pharisees were doing in this moment. They knew this answer real quick. Oh, it's David. It's David's son. They answered Jesus quickly and confidently on that one. You know, the Pharisees knew their Bible, or at least they knew the words. They understood that the prophet said about the Messiah and that he would come through the line of David. In their minds, this wasn't even a guess to come to this answer. This was just solid theology. And even with the right answer, we need to understand there was still tension in that room because they had the right answer, but they had the wrong understanding. They said all the right words, but they didn't grasp the reality of who Jesus was and is still today. And honestly, we can do the same thing. And we do it often. We can say all the right things about Jesus. We can know all the right verses about Jesus. We can even agree with the ideas about Jesus, but still not fully understand who he is in our lives. The Pharisees were not outsiders to religion. They were the most religious people of their time. They studied the scripture daily. They taught others. People looked to them as spiritual leaders. If anyone should have been able to recognize Jesus as the Messiah at that particular moment in time, it should have been the Pharisees. Yet they missed him. And they missed him because they had already decided what they wanted out of a Messiah. See, they were looking for a political leader. They were looking for someone to overthrow Rome, someone to restore their power. And in their minds, the Messiah would come and fix their situation, someone who would fix all their earthly problems. But they never thought he would come and confront their hearts. So when Jesus showed up humbly, teaching and calling for repentance, they just couldn't reconcile any of this. Jesus didn't fit their mold of what they expected out of a Messiah. So instead of adjusting their understanding, they rejected him. It's easy for us to fall into the traps of the Pharisees, where we have this idea of who God is. And when we read the scriptures and it doesn't fit out the way we want it to reject. You know, each one of us have this version of Jesus in our minds that fits our expectations and makes us comfortable. And often this version of Jesus affirms everything that we already believe. This version of Jesus would never challenge our lifestyle or our choices. Besides, we're still better than the other guy, right? Our version of Jesus often fits neatly into our worldview, and anything that goes against that, we throw out and we don't go deeper. So when people ask us about Jesus, we keep it shallow. You know, it's easy to say, well, I go to church, or I believe in Jesus, or I try to live like him, or try to be a good human. And on the surface, these sound like good answers, but they're not full answers. And there's a difference. You know, knowing things about Jesus is different than actually knowing him. Agreeing with things about Jesus is different than surrendering our lives to him. Acknowledging that he is Savior is different than allowing him to be Lord of our lives. In our world today, I see a lot of Christians who stop and fall short with their walk with God. They stop short in their understandings of who Jesus is and just keep it at that surface level. They settle for that comfortable version of Jesus that they like, that fits their lifestyle, that fits their narrative, and they never allow him to come in and actually transform their lives from the inside out. And that's why they miss him. That's why they miss Jesus. You know, that's where the Pharisees were. They had a comfortable version of who the Messiah would be, and they had the version that they wanted. Even though they were right about the Messiah coming from the line of David, they missed something. They missed something critical. Jesus said in verse 43, he asked them, how is it then that David, inspired by the Spirit, calls him Lord? It's here that we see Jesus didn't reject their answer, but he also is refusing to let it be their final answer. He wants them to go deeper. And he quotes Psalms 110 in verse 44 when he says, verse 44, the Lord declared to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. I want you to understand that these are the very words of King David. And this would have stopped the Pharisees in their tracks because they understood something in this moment. David was considered one of Israel's greatest king, if not their greatest king. He was the hero of their history. He had slayed Goliath. He had raised up this great nation. He was the standard of leadership for all the people of their day. King David was the one that God made the covenant with to send the Messiah. And inside of that culture at that time, a father was always considered greater than the son. So why would David call the Messiah Lord? And they couldn't answer that question. It's in that moment that we see Jesus showing that their view of the Messiah was too small. Yes, the Messiah is the son of David, and he's coming from that lineage, and he is of human descent. Yes, the Messiah is a promised king, but the Messiah is also David's Lord and is greater than King David. He is seated at the right hand of God. In other words, the Messiah is not just human, he is also divine. And I don't want you guys to miss this. It's in this moment that Jesus is talking about himself. He is saying, I'm not just the son of David. I'm the Lord that David was talking about. And this changes everything. Not just for them, but us. Because if Jesus is just a teacher, we can learn from him. If Jesus is just a leader, then we can follow him when it's convenient for our lives. If Jesus is just a good man, then we can admire him from a distance. But if Jesus is Lord, well, that changes everything completely for our lives. Because the Lord is not just a title. It's a position of authority. If Jesus is Lord, it means he rules. It means he reigns. It means he has final say in everything. And this idea of Jesus being Lord brings about tension in our world today. It brings about tension inside each of our lives. You know, we're comfortable with the version of Jesus that we can manage. A Jesus who inspires us but doesn't interfere with our lives. A Jesus that hears our prayers and does what we want him to, like a genie in a bottle. You know, we're comfortable with a Jesus that encourages us but that doesn't confront us. We're comfortable with a Jesus that loves us, but not one that leads us. But church, I need you to understand that Jesus does all of those things. Jesus won't just stay in the boundaries that we want for him. You don't get to create this box and say, all right, you get this and nothing else. That's not how it works. He's not a motivational speaker or a life coach. He's not a spiritual add-on from Times Get Tough. Jesus is Lord, which means he speaks truth into our lives even when it's uncomfortable. It means that he's going to call you to change even when it's difficult. It means he's going to demand surrender even when it costs you everything in life. I know this isn't the Jesus that many want to think about, but when we call Jesus Lord, this is what it means. And this was a struggle for the Pharisees, because if Jesus was the son of David, they could work with that. But if he is Lord, well, that would mean they'd have to submit to him. And they weren't willing to do that. And honestly, we can do the same thing. Many people in the world do. They don't mind Jesus being present in their lives. They just don't want him to change their lives. You know, it's one thing to say that Jesus is important, but it's a whole other thing to say that Jesus is in control. Because if we allow Jesus to be in control, if we allow him to be Lord of our lives, it affects the way that we live. It affects the way that we think and how we prioritize our lives. It affects every bit of our lives when we allow him to become Lord. The passage closes with verses 45 and 46. And it says, if David calls him Lord, how then can he be his son? No one was able to answer him at all. And from that day on, no one dared to question him anymore. The Pharisees understood what Jesus was saying. And they couldn't answer the question. Now, I wanted you to understand, it wasn't that they didn't answer the question because they thought it was confusing. They did not answer the question because they thought it was confusing. It had nothing to do with that. They fully understood what Jesus was saying and asking, but they refused to answer because it would require them to surrender to Jesus. And they weren't about to do that. So they fell silent. No debate, no follow-up questions, no attempts to respond, just silence. And that silence is powerful because it revealed something deeper inside of them. It revealed resistance. We have to remember that the Pharisees were not people who lacked knowledge. They knew the scriptures well. They knew Psalms 110 when Jesus quoted it, that they could connect the dots and they understood what Jesus was saying. The issue was they didn't want to accept it. Because if Jesus is who he claims to be, if he's not just the son of David, but David's Lord, then everything changes for them. You see, if Jesus is Lord, then the authority that they've been wielding over the people, that they've been wielding over the people of Israel, was no longer ultimate. If Jesus is Lord, then all the traditions and everything that they were enforcing and holding on to were no longer the standard. If Jesus is Lord, then their position was no longer secure. It would mean that they're no longer in control, and they couldn't accept that. You know, we can find ourselves wrestling today just as the Pharisees did. You know, we start off this morning asking the question, who is Jesus? Which brings about a deeper question that we need to ask ourselves, will I let him be Lord of my life? Because it's one thing to believe something in our head, and it's a whole other thing to surrender our lives to Jesus. Because in our culture, we value control. We say things like, do what feels right to you. Live your truth. You're in charge of your life. But when we come to Jesus, he says something completely different. Jesus says, your life belongs to me. You're not in control. I am. And because of that, it creates this tension in our lives. This tension between the world and God, because we want guidance without surrender. We want blessings without having to be obedient. We want to be saved without submitting to Jesus. And to make this point a little clearer, I want you to think about your prayer life for a moment. I want to think about all the times that you go to Jesus in prayer, and how many times do you pray, Jesus, help me? How often do you say, Jesus, help me? But how often do you pray, Jesus, lead me? Or how often do you pray, Jesus, forgive me? Versus how often do you pray, Jesus, change me? We need to remember that Jesus doesn't come in little pieces. He's not a Lego set that we put together the way that we want to. We don't get him as Savior without allowing him also to be Lord of our lives. So if Jesus is Lord of your life, it means that you give him authority over your decisions. It means you give him authority over your priorities. It even means that you give him authority over your relationships and your future, and not just some part of your life, but all of your life. And I understand that at times this brings about a struggle in our walk with Jesus. Because when we surrender to him as he calls us to, it often feels like we're losing control. But I want to remind you, you're not losing control. You're handing control over to someone in much better hands. The Pharisees stood in front of Jesus. They stood close enough to hear him. They stood close enough to see him and respond. Yet they made a choice to stay silent. Not because they didn't have enough evidence of who Jesus was, but because they didn't want to surrender their lives to him. They didn't want to lose that control, and this is a dangerous place to be when we are close to Jesus, but still not submitting to him. We can hear sermons, we can hear the scriptures, we can be in church regularly, and still hold one thing back from him that he asks, and that is our lives. So I ask you this morning, who is Jesus to you? Is he someone that you go to in times of trouble? Is he someone that you give parts of your life to? Or is he Lord of your life? Because calling Jesus Messiah doesn't mean much if we don't also call him Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Lord, I thank you for the opportunity we have to be here, to worship you, to praise you. Lord, I ask that you continue to pursue each and every one of us. Father, that we may surrender to you and make you Lord of our lives. That we may not just give you parts of our lives, but all of it. Lord, may you challenge us this week. Do we see you as you are, or do we see you as we want you to be? Lord, transform us. In Jesus' name, amen.
And I'm forgiven because you were forsaken, and I'm accepted, you were condemned, and I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again, and I'm forgiven. Because you were forsaken, and I'm accepted, you were condemned, and I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be? You, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. And I'm forgiven. Because you were forsaken, and I'm accepted, you were condemned, and I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. joy and honor you in all I do. I honor you. You are my King, Jesus. You are my King, Jesus. You are my King, Jesus. You are my King. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me?
Wrestle with that question, and you don't just take the shallow route, but you dive in deep, that you grow in your understanding and knowledge of who He is, that He may transform you from the inside out to make you new again. God bless. Have a great week. I will see you in prayer.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.